And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. My name is Dr. June. I'm one of your co-hosts. We started this program to bring the voice of overseas Christianity to the Western world. Our program airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. here at 91.5 FM WAPN, Holy Hill, Florida, and 91.7 FM WAPB, Madison, Florida. You can visit our website at www.truthtowellness.com. We are now in Season 3, bringing you the Word of God from the perspective of our overseas teaching. We are currently discussing fear and faith with Dr. T, which we will get to right after the song.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God's moving, a mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus.
Hey! Welcome to part two on our program on fear and faith. In part one, we essentially did an entry-level comparison between fear and faith, adding support from the scriptures that, in fact, Christian is not meant to walk in fear, and that we are meant to walk in faith, and that fear is contrary to anything that God stands for, and we are not to follow in the steps of fear other than fear of God, which is a different type of fear. So here I would like to start with Matthew 8:26, where he says, and I quote, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" If you read in Mark 4:40, it says, "But he said unto them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" There are other places in the Bible that also Jesus talks about little faith and then correlates it to not being fearful. Now, one of the things that often disturbs me in the West is that we tend to pick and choose. I have heard of many people talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, and they really love that chapter. But then other scriptures, they kind of pick and choose. There are scriptures that are not very popular in our culture, and we tend to kind of bypass them. And you know, the scriptures such as turn the other cheek, or even Matthew 5:40, where it says, "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever compels you to go with him 1 mile, go with him too." Or in Luke 6:30, where he says, "Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Now, why does Jesus say all these things? And frankly, why is it that in our society, we don't seem to hold those concepts, not even as closely as many other societies do? You're more likely, if you ask a Christian for something that is theirs, you're more likely to see the barrel of their gun than you are to have them do what Jesus said. So I was wondering very often, why is this the case? And I realized that that is because we are driven by fear. Believe it or not, here we come again. We are driven by fear. We don't really always trust that God will provide, if ever, for us. Or we kind of believe it, you know, the same level of faith that you have If you're superstitious and you believe that a black cat crossing your road, then you may want to go back another route, something like that. I've seen very ridiculous things like that. That level, that's not faith. That's really not faith. And very often in our Christianity, in our walk, we have problems because we're really walking in fear, not in faith. And so I'd like you to think about it. And in fact, Jesus compares the different types of faith. And he says in Matthew 10:28-31, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper or coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows." Now, notice what he talks about here first. First, he is saying that do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. What is he talking about? This is the physical fear. This is when somebody comes on our property and, you know, first thing we do is grab a gun. That is not definitely a Christian principle in that respect. That's not how we are meant to walk. I'm not saying anything against guns. I'm just saying that we have to be hospitable. We have to open our doors. And, I mean, this is where many of the Christians have lost. What I would say, Bible speaks very clearly about strangers in our midst. Unfortunately, as a scientist, I can tell you, and there is a lot of research to back this up, that some of the most racist statements actually come from our own Christians. Oh, what happened to being hospitable? What happened to welcoming the strangers? Why do you think we're not doing this? And I'm not getting into the illegal immigrant issue. I'm talking people who are amongst us. You know, I'm talking about people who are member of other visible minorities and how they're treated. Even I myself was told to go back where I came from, which in my case is Canada. You know, that is probably laughable in some sense. But that actually comes and happens more often in Christian countries, in Christian regions, in Christian states. Why is this the case? And then we wonder why we don't have miracles. I had a brother who actually also moved from Canada here. And he said, you know, I noticed we don't have as many miracles. I agreed with him. I agree. But that's why. We can't sit on both sides of a fence. If you live by fear and not faith, you're not going to see miracles because miracles require faith. So I think we need to notice what Jesus said here. We have to replace the fear, if you will, of those who cannot kill the soul, and focus on, and I would say it's not so much necessarily the fear, but the respect of him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then what does Jesus say right after that? Notice this. I will read the whole thing again so you can see the sense of what it says. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Then he goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Now, did you ever wonder why did he continue with this? Because he's talking about fear. This is actually what Jesus was trying to portray to us, is you cannot walk in fear. And then he goes on to explain, not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. So he's giving us here a reason for our fear. And that reason is that we don't actually trust our Father. If you think of the other scripture that he actually also shared with us, I think it is in Luke 11, verse 13, where he says, if you then, evil, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And you know that when he gives us the Holy Spirit, he will lead us in all things, because Holy Spirit is also God. You have to understand here that what he is saying is, if you don't believe that your Father will answer your prayer, if you don't believe that your Father cares about you, then you're putting him below the level of our heaven, our earthly fathers. And our earthly fathers are evil beings, know how to give good gifts. Now notice this. If you then, evil being, know how to give good gifts to your children, it's talking to earthly fathers, because it says to your children. And so we are essentially putting God below a level of an earthly father. That's extremely dangerous. But we do it all the time because of lack of faith. And so Jesus said, going back to Matthew 10, 28 to 31, and just to recap a little bit, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. So he's assuring us that everything that happens in our life is from and in within our Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Why is he saying this? Did you ever think about why he said that? Hair is, how many of you actually numbered your hair? How many of you have actually gone and counted how many hairs you have? I don't think I would have anybody say I did that. And yet, he said, God cares for us so much that he even knows the number of hairs on our head, meaning that even the hair doesn't come off without him knowing it. And, you know, if you're one of those that's balding, well, take courage. He knows that number. He knows that even the number of your hairs on your head. That is how much he loves us. If we understand that, and this is what I'm going to show later, fear and faith opposite of each other, but faith actually builds love and hope, which is what brings us into adoption stage. That is, makes us a part of God's family. And many people say, you know, just pray this prayer and you're part of God's family. The road is longer, but it requires us to just be willing to accept it. It is gained through faith. It is not something that you have to work for 2, 3, 4 years or so on. And he said, do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. So I think Jesus is trying to show us how it is extremely important that we rely and trust God. I would also like to get to another aspect of fear and faith, and that is that fear shows a lack of Holy Spirit power. We can see this from an example of Peter. Peter, before he was endued by power from on high in Acts 2, this is described in the beginning of chapter 2 of Acts, he actually, in John 18, 15 to 17, it says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood on the door outside. And the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who had kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now, you may note that Jesus actually told him in advance, which we can see in many places. I will just read, for example, from Matthew 26, 34, where Jesus said to him, this is to Peter, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Now, Jesus warned him that he will deny him 3 times. And Peter said, no, I'd rather die than deny you. In fact, you know, I am very certain that Peter meant that. I'm certain that Peter was in his mind ready to die for Christ, which he did many, many years later. But you see that because he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, he had no control over it. And even when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, even when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean that we conquer every weakness we have. God doesn't have angels walking on earth, and there are many reasons for that. That's too complex to get into that. But I think we have to understand here that Peter had all the right intentions. He still denied Jesus. Once Jesus was crucified, there was really a chase after the disciples. So they were trying to find his disciples. And so disciples were hiding. They were in hiding until the time that the Holy Spirit came down. And you can just imagine this, you know, somebody's knocking at the door and everybody goes, oh, who is that? Who is that? And you know, they are in hiding. The Holy Spirit comes down. And in Acts 2, 14 to 16, we see this event where it says, but Peter, standing up at 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on and speaks to them, says, Jesus, who you have crucified, and so on. And obviously, this is not, these are not the words of somebody who is afraid. What happened? This is only a few days. Personality doesn't change in a few days. I can tell you that from psychology. So what happened here? What happened is the power that occurred in the beginning of chapter 2 of Book of Acts, where the fire came upon them, like the tongues, and they all start speaking in other tongues. And some churches have a problem with this. I mean, quite frankly, when I became a Christian, before that I was an atheist. And when I became a Christian, I used to say to people really simply this, I either believe the whole Bible or don't bother. And I probably wouldn't say that now, because I understand that we as people have challenges and weaknesses, but I think it's very important to believe the Bible. And the Bible says that that's what happened, and that's what happened. It is not something that is, subject to our interpretation. One of the things I like to share with you is that Peter actually continued to do that later, which shows us that this is not the only time Peter had the courage. In fact, we read in the Acts that he had the courage throughout the period, and he was one of the leaders together with Paul. In Acts 4:8-12 says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are judged for good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected of you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Now, why is this scripture so amazing? Well, it's amazing because you have to understand that these were the rulers. He actually says to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, these were the people who crucified Jesus. These are the people that were hunting for them. These are the people that they were in hiding from just a few days before. And now he says, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel. So he's not afraid of what they're going to say, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, this are not the words of somebody who is afraid. Whom you crucified, God raised, and whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man stands here before you whole. And then he goes on to say, it's almost like he's picking a fight. He goes on to say, the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, So this is something that you have to understand. Peter could not have done this if there was fear in him. So why was there no fear in him? Because when the power of the Holy Spirit came, the fear was cast out. This is very important for us to understand, because it leads to a conclusion that if you are always fearful, you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit. Not as much as you could have, for sure. And this is very important. So if you are especially a minister and you're preaching and you find yourself dealing with fear, I would suggest take some time, deal with it, get closer to God, ask and pray for faith, and wait until you get that power from on high, because you see the change that happened in Peter. We know that this wasn't only for the apostles, because Peter in Acts 2:38-39 says, and then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord shall call. Now you have to understand, there are a couple of elements here. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. We are very familiar with that. But then he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So many people who say, well, this was only in the early days, This scripture really shows us that that's not. Because then he goes on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This essentially means if you're called by God, this promise is for you. And I believe that everybody who is listening to this has something in them that wants to hear it, that wants to listen to it. And that testifies to me that there is a calling. In fact, God is calling us all to follow him and to walk with him. So as you can now see in this part, we have talked about the fear from the perspective of power and from the perspective of how our Lord has instructed us to deal with it. Next, I'm going to talk in part three about David and Goliath and what lessons we can learn from that, as well as how to overcome fear with faith and through faith. So again, if you have just come into this episode and you have not heard the previous one, I encourage you to go to our website. There you will have the episode that played last week, and that will that website is truth2wellness.com. That is truth2wellness, all words, no spaces, no numbers, .com. And if you go on the radio program season 3, you're going to find the material that we have for last year, few weeks, and in fact the whole last year, that we have been doing the different studies. Since I came from overseas this summer, the Lord impressed on me that the problem that we have here is that some of the teachings need to be clear, need to be effective, need to be powerful. Because if we don't have the right teaching, if we are not feeding ourselves with the right food, we cannot expect to grow in power and strength. And therefore, you cannot really expect to have miracles and healings and other testimonials. We have to understand that God wants us to walk in faith and to walk in him. And when we do so, even if you don't have a gift of healing, if you pray for people, they will be healed. I have experienced that myself. As one who received the healing when others have prayed, also as the one who prayed for others and they received it, it is nothing to do with us. It's to do with God. But we have to understand that all of those things that we read about the Bible, they're happening today. And if somebody thinks that that was only in the beginning, well, I can take you to all sorts of countries, and I've been in over 40 of them. And I can tell you, it's still happening there. It wasn't just from the beginning. So again, the gospel and everything we read in there is for today. And if you just take the courage to believe in him, to read the Bible regularly, to have a contact with the living Father, with the living God, I believe that your life will be changed. So this is now the end of part two of Fear and Faith series. Part three next will play next week. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.